That's right. Happy 2026, everybody, and welcome in to the first edition of the 2026 Racing Talk Radio here at the Whitfield Media Studios. And we have got so much to talk about today, so I just want to get this out of the way. It's good to be back. Happy 2026. NASCAR's right around the corner. We're going to talk about the Clash that's been snowed out, which snowing out in NASCAR races doesn't happen a lot. We're going to talk about what we did over the holidays. And also, has there ever been a crazier offseason than NASCAR just went through? We had tragedy. We had triumph. We had a little bit of everything. And we're not even to Daytona yet. So, you know what? It is going to be a good time. So let's sit back. Let's relax. Let's get into this thing. Let's talk NASCAR. It's here. Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.3. I am Casey, and alongside me, once again, for his 25th year, it is none other than Sean Whitfield, Whitfield Media Group.
You know, I always love our first show.
Oh, gosh.
Because you know,
stumbling over everything.
Well, you know, I'm doing radio every week on all the other shows, and it's so easy when you don't do radio for a couple of months to get a little rusty. And I always enjoy our first show because you get a little rusty, but then, man, you know, we get past the first show and you're just rocking and rolling. And by the way, we're on Rock 103.7, not Rock 103.3.
So that's what it is. So here's what's funny. Not only am I rusty at this, there's so many things. Like, a lot of times it's like, all right, let's talk about new paint schemes and who's driving what car. There's so many things that happen over the off season, yeah. And you and I have been texting back and forth about stuff for the last 2 months. I'm just so ready to get into all of this crazy stuff that, yes, it's like, wait a minute. This is Rock 103.7.
Yes.
Yes, your name is Sean Whitfield. We have a brand new sponsor I haven't even brought up because I just know I'm going to screw that up too. So I was going to let you introduce them. So, yes, it's going to be good. We're going to get into it. I'm excited to be here.
Well, glad to have you here. And I tell you what, it's one of those type of situations that I think by the time we get to November, you and I have done all the NASCAR that we want to do, at least at the moment.
Yeah.
We want to take a little break. And of course, we get distracted too. And I think many of our listeners do. And just America in general, we get so distracted and so into football. And so it kind of takes a little bit of our attention away from NASCAR. However, you know, we're still trying to stay engaged to the sport because we're in the middle of the playoffs. And so we go into the off season and we get through Christmas, and man, it's like the switch flips and we're back to be in NASCAR mode. And of course, I keep up with NASCAR every day, 365 days a year, but I know I'm a little probably different and unusual than most of our listeners. But certainly a lot of things went on in the off season. But before we dive into all the stuff in NASCAR, we need to spend a few minutes and talk about here at home. Number one, we are broadcasting live from the Nuga Dentistry Studio. Dr. Mark Deal is the primary owner and principal of Nuga Dentistry. They're a great organization. If you're somebody out there and you're looking for a new home for your dentistry, or you maybe need some dental work, you hadn't been to the dentist in a while, these are great people. They've got several locations. So we'll be talking about Nuga Dentistry on a regular basis, and we're broadcasting live from the Nuga Dentistry Studio. That's one thing that's a little new. And then two, today is a special day. This is the 25th anniversary of Race and Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. So if you're somebody that doesn't know about our history, it all began the day after
25 years ago.
Well, I say it's 25 years ago. We started the day after the Daytona 500 in February 2001, the day after the passing of Dale Earnhardt, and was our very first show. We were on Magic 101.3. which at that time, the cluster of stations, once upon a time, we were Rock 105, US 101, 98.1 The Lake, all the stations in the now Odyssey group of radio stations were owned by a company called Clear Channel. and Clear Channel had Magic 101.3. It was in the basement of the building there where all the other radio stations are. And we went on the air for the first time. It was myself and Todd Meneses. Todd was the program director of the station at the time. Then as time went along, we went into our second and third year, and I'm thinking, you know, somebody asked me, well, how long are you going to be doing the show? I said, I have no idea. we just have myself and Sammy George, the general manager at the time. We just had a commitment to one another. We'd never leave each other in the middle of the season. We'd decide in the off season, whether we wanted to continue. And it just went on and on and on. And we get into 2005. We then became Thunder 101.9, and that's when Chris Van Dyke came on. Chris was the director of operations for Clear Channel. And then if my facts are straight, correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, you came on in June of 2005.
Yeah, so it was still Thunder. JB was
Jim Bean, the
program director of Thunder, and I started coming out to hang at Will's Sports Bar because I just moved here and didn't have anything else to do, and I started hanging out with you guys, helping set up and break down and eating and drinking free, which is
little fringe benefit back then too.
That was really all I was worried about. And then that somebody couldn't make it one time, y'all had me on a few times, and then somebody couldn't make it, and then
JB,
I helped host it, and then
JB was eliminated, but by management.
Yeah, management was made some cuts, and pretty soon I was helping you and Van Dyke host.
You became part of the show, and I remember you became part of Casey Mears and his fan club. You had been to Talladega a few times.
Yep.
So you became a part in 05, but when this show started, it was a year-to-year deal, and it happened too, because I was in the oil business at the time. We had Whitfield Oil Company, and we were providing fuel to NASCAR races here in the Southeast, and that's how it began for me back in 1994. And so I was a part of the Unical 76 or Union 76 organization, being one of their distributors, and that's how my life became part of the world of NASCAR. It was all from the business side. So there's a lot of history. And then Casey and I started doing TV in 2007 at Fox 61 for 3 years, and then on to do 2 years at Channel 3, and then several years at Revan TV. And fast forwarding, we're still here. We've been through 5 or 6 radio station changes,
many different program directors,
and 3 ownerships. Of radio stations.
Yeah, it's,
and we're still here.
We're like a virus. can't be. There's no antibiotics for us.
We've outlasted ownership changes, program director changes, frequency changes, the type of radio stations we were on. We've been on classic rock. We've been on classic country. We've been on all sports. I mean, just think about all the changes that we've experienced in 25 years.
It's proof. If you just keep showing up, no, they won't actually fire you. They won't show you the door. If you just, it's like Seinfeld. Just show up Monday like nothing happened.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's been a, you know, I think back, and it's been a heck of a ride, but it's been a good one. A lot of great people along the way, and of course, we've had a lot of outstanding listeners that have been with us through 25 years. I hope there's some that started with us 25 years ago and still here with us today. I run into people from time to time out in public places, and they tell me that, man, we've been listening to you guys for a long time. So we're beginning our 25th season here on Rock 103.7. We'll be here each and every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. So on your ride home, don't forget about us. You can check us out right there on your radio dial, Rock 103.7, every Monday. And then this show will be broadcasting the next day on Tuesdays each week on our website, racingtalkradio.com. Just click on past shows, or you can find us at your favorite podcast platform. All of our shows are in podcast as well, so you can be able to check out all of our shows there and listen to us anytime, anywhere, at your convenience.
And just in case you were wondering, Sean, let's see. Carson Hocevar, Connor Zilich, and Ty Gibbs. All NASCAR drivers that were not born when you started this show. So if that helps you out, just thinking like what all have we covered? Well, literally the lives of some of these people. So there you have it.
Yeah, I was at an event Saturday evening and was...
Mrs. Whitfield looked great.
Yeah, I just went along
for
the ride.
You were in the back all scruffly looking. Like, who is that guy?
But I was at this event and everybody there was so much younger than me. And they were, or at least at our two tables. And one of the guys was asking me, you know, a little bit about what I've done, my career and that kind of stuff. And I was sharing it with him, and he said, yeah, I was born in 1994. And I'm thinking, man.
Yeah, there we go. That, I'm going to see myself
that,
out.
That seems weird to be talking. And this guy's bald-headed with a full beard, and he's got a great career going with a big company. And I'm thinking, man, it's hard to believe. But you and I have been together over 20 years. I think it was 20 years last June. And so a lot of great memories, a lot of times along the way, many great broadcasts from Atlanta Motor Speedway. We've had many great guests here on the program through the years. I have no regrets. I'm thankful, been very blessed to have the opportunity to have all the relationships that we've had through the years. So it's been great. But to shift gears for a little bit, or just for a moment, how was your off season?
Yeah, so 25 years, there we go. Big time off season. All right, so if we're going to talk about what we did, you know what? Pretty calm, pretty chill. I came in today with my new passion.
Your new toy.
I got a 3D printer for Christmas, so I've nonstop been annoying my daughter and my wife with things that I print. But other than that, it's same old, man. Just it's
still running Quality Fence.
Still out there trying to fence America, starting with Chattanooga. But yes, Quality Fence. Go to fence.net for more information. I'm doing that full time. And Evelyn keeps growing. We're on the second half of her sixth grade year at OLPH, and we're starting to get busier than ever.
Man.
And that's about it.
The other day, she was just a baby.
Tell me about it.
Well, another thing I need to share is 1 week ago today, I became a grandfather.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. My daughter Alexis was in labor for 24 hours. Excuse me, 21 hours.
I bet she loved that.
Oh, yeah. 21 hours of labor, and she had her first son named Graham Elijah.
Graham Elijah. That's cool. Good name.
Graham Elijah Parks. Parks is the last name.
Well, congratulations, G-Paw. How's that feel?
You know, I'm not sure what I'm going to be called yet.
Well,
I just decided that I was going to let him decide.
Yeah, the first grandkid gets to decide.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what that's going to be. I've got a few suggestions, but, who knows what it ends up being.
It's whatever he ends up mumbling out.
Yeah, so it's yet to be determined, but...
Pawpaw.
I'm a granddad now.
Congratulations.
I think Kim wants
to be... That's really cool. Thanks for the text. I figured I'd get a text about that.
I thought I'd sent you one, but I guess I forgot.
No, I'm going to... next time I say Alexis,
I should have sent you a picture or two.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was sort of a whirlwind last week.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
And it's still challenging to believe that I'm old enough to be at this place in my life. So, but yeah, excited about that. Did you get any golf in the off season? I mean, did you get permission to do that?
I'm trying to say, when was our last show? November?
Early November was last time.
I think
I got
to play one with a buddy I work with. We played a little tournament at his club, but and I've played one time maybe since then. But it's just been, man, have you been outside recently?
Yeah.
It's a little chilly.
Well, I didn't know if back in the middle part of December when we had those 70-degree days.
So, did get to get out and mix it up a few times then. Day after Thanksgiving, I got to go, which I was shocked with that too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's day after Christmas. I don't know. Got to play a few, not nearly enough.
See, when you start to hit close to 50, your mind starts
it's getting
going together.
It's getting bad. Yeah, it's good. So that hasn't gotten any better. But no, life is pretty much the same. Well, I'm not a grandpa, but I do have a 3D printer, and you know, probably have to.
I was going to say,
something.
I wish you to be a grandfather soon, but that's not true. I think you need to wait a while.
Don't put that mojo on me.
Especially since your daughter is as young as she is, which is, it's hard to believe that your daughter Evelyn's in the sixth grade. Seems like the other day she was just beginning to walk. So that's how quickly time flies by. But nevertheless, we have had an exciting off season.
God, what an off season.
I mean, all the things that we're going to kind of just have a brief recap on today's show, just sort of share our opinions. So some of it's going to be some old news to some of our listeners, but we hope you at least enjoy us reminiscing for a short period of time, but also giving our thoughts and opinions and our outlooks of some of the things that have gone on the off season. But we learned some things about NASCAR in the off season as far as the France family that we did not know. So we're going to talk about some of that and sort of just give a little preview of what the 2026 season is going to start. And, of course, the season's already started out with a little bit of a delay with the fact that we weren't able to run the race at the Clash at Bowman Gray this past Sunday night. And we're going to be doing that Wednesday on Fox. So we're going to talk about that plenty of other things in the world of NASCAR. So sit back, relax, and as we crank out our first show of the 2026 season, our 25th anniversary of Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103. We got a lot more straight ahead for Casey Orr. I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Hi, I'm Sean Whitfield.
And I'm Blake Watson.
Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for Your Home Radio, presented by Blake Watson with Epic Realty on 98.1 The Lake.
Featuring a variety of topics all related to your home.
Hey folks, this is Misty Bolt, otherwise known as Medicare Misty. Yes, I'm a real person, and yes, I help people answer real Medicare questions every day. 10,000 people are turning 65 daily. If you or your parents have questions, don't trust an 800 number, junk mail, or a national.com. Trust a real person that lives in your community and serves your community. Medicare Misty. Find out more about me and my team at MedicareMisty.com. MedicareMisty.com.
Not affiliated by or endorsed by any governmental agency. Plans depend on zip code. We may not have all plans. Go to Medicare.gov.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Hey Chattanooga, Josh Porter here for Optimize You, Chattanooga's number one clinic for both men and women's hormone replacement. Are you suffering from fatigue, low libido, or just not feeling yourself? We are the answer you have been looking for. My team and I are here to help you become yourself again. So find us online at OptimizeYouCenters.com.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back. It's here, Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 105, Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr, we're back.
At Rock 103.7, by the way.
Rock 103.7. Listen, it's one error every time I come back on.
You said 05.
Well, you know what? Because you haven't updated the sticker on the back of your laptop. That's where I go for
that. Yeah, but look at my shirt.
Pretty soon. When did we start getting shirts, by the way?
Yeah, look at that. Check that out.
Rock 103.7. You got to be a grandpa to get one of those?
Yeah.
Is there still such thing as 98 won the lake? Is that still around?
Yeah.
That's just a different...
98.1 The Lake, sister station. You can find On the Move Radio, Your Home Radio, and Vital Health Radio. Well,
I knew you did a bunch of stuff where I just wasn't sure, is it still the lake? So that's accurate.
Yeah.
Rock 103.3. I only said that every day for a year. I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, we just moved down the dial a little bit last May.
Yeah.
From 105.5 to 103.7.
Stronger signal. We'll get out there and rock a little harder in the Chattanooga area.
A lot bigger signal.
Our buddy Rambin and the gang. All right. So, Sean, before the break, we got everybody up to speed. We're 25 years ago, how did we get a show? What did you and I do over the break? Action-packed. Now let's turn our attention towards the 2025 to 2026 offseason, an offseason that saw, I think, three major stories happen, and one of which is going to have, well, you know what, now I'm thinking maybe even four, but I want to throw these at you, and let's talk about them, because I want to know, number one, your thoughts on them. You and I text a little bit, but a lot of times we purposely don't talk about stuff so we can talk it out here. I want to know your opinion on some things, and also which ones are going to have the longest effect. Mm-hmm. So I think number one, and we'll get the sad stuff out of the way, passing of Greg Biffle.
Yeah,
that is the one that completely came out of left field, a tragic story. Greg, you know, a beloved NASCAR guy, won a bunch of races. Everybody, it seems to be one of those, the more stories you heard about him, they all echoed the same thing. What a great guy. Tragically, was in a plane crash, he and his family, and lost his life. And I believe it was December, I believe that happened.
Yeah.
And it was a tragic thing. One of those things you know, that those bulletins start coming across and your heart just sinks. Mm-hmm. And man, I hated it, because it seems like NASCAR lost one of the good ones. And a guy that we hadn't heard a whole lot from since he retired. He hasn't been one of these guys that wants to come back and run a few or do this or do that. Seems to have been just out there living his life and helping people.
You know, we hadn't seen Greg on the track in a while. Where Greg was really showing up to the NASCAR community was in all the good things he was doing to help people. He caught a lot of news and attention back when the hurricane hit Western Carolina, and he did a lot of rescue missions with his helicopter, and he was able to help a lot of people and do a lot of good just for humanity, people he did not know. But he took his time, his assets being his helicopter and his own money, and helped a whole lot of people. So that was one of the things that, you know, we kind of got the opportunity to kind of keep up with Greg and watch him at his best. Some people say that what he did then was far greater than anything he ever accomplished on the racetrack, and I would tend to agree with that. He would show up at a few select NASCAR races, especially at Darlington, you know, some of those moments that they would try to bring back a lot of the drivers of the past. And it's sad that we lost him. Then it even makes it that much worse when we saw he lost his whole family. And so, yeah, it was tragic news. It caught national attention. This was a news story that was all over national news. And so there was a lot of people across the country that had never heard of Greg Biffle. But now they found out who Greg Biffle was and what he had meant to people, especially his contribution to the sport of NASCAR.
Yeah, the highest finish he had was in 2005, which is about when I started really paying attention to NASCAR. So he was always one of those dudes that was always good. Once I started paying attention, won six races that year. He finished third in 08, seventh in 09, sixth in 10, fifth in 2012. A pro's pro. And like I said, he's one of those guys that you always heard really good things about. And as the stories poured out, sometimes, Sean, and you know this from meeting drivers, and I know from my background working in radio and also meeting drivers and stuff, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes. Sometimes they're not as cool as you'd like for them to be. it was always good to hear. I mean, it was really refreshing to hear that Greg was as good as people said. And you can never have enough guys like that, in the NASCAR garage area, and involved with NASCAR, on planet Earth for that matter. So, very tragic, the passing of Greg Biffle. So,
you know, Greg came back up in the news media cycle, just in the last few days. The NTSB, which is the National Transportation Safety Board, has just released a preliminary report from the investigation of the plane crash. Of course, it was Greg Biffle and six others that were killed in Statesville, North Carolina. And the preliminary report is showing that Greg was not the pilot. And, of course, they had some encountered some electrical and flight instruments malfunctions. There was no engine malfunction. And it appears that the gentleman by the name of Dennis Dutton was the pilot of the aircraft at the time of the crash. So there'll certainly be more to come from all that. Another thing that came up in the news not long ago that really I just thought, man, how low can somebody get? And it was a news report that videos were released by the sheriff's department in the area there in Mooresville where Biffle's estate was, where his house was burglarized.
Oh, isn't that, yeah, man, isn't that something else?
Right now, or at least as of January 21st, there was no arrest. I don't know if there's been any arrests made since then, but man, how low do you gotta get?
I mean, some people, that's god awful. But anyway, that was the easily the most tragic story, saddest story. Well, I shouldn't say easily, of the off season. Sean, let's move it to the next story. And I'm not going to go chronological because I want to talk about the third the most, because I know that's the one that we talked about the most last year. But number two, the new point system and the new, I don't know if I'll say points, the new playoffs, the restructuring of NASCAR's postseason, I should say.
Yeah.
It's something that the playoffs took a lot of heat last year. They were already under a little bit of heat, but a lot of people seem to be dissatisfied with maybe how the playoffs shook out.
Now it's the NASCAR Chase.
We're back to the Chase, which we got rid of for a while. Now it's back. It'll be the race for the Chase and then the Chase for the championship, I'm guessing. But, Sean, it's not often that one of the major sports in the American lexicon just completely changes up. It's the way it does the playoffs. I mean, this reminds me of years ago when baseball decided to add like the wild card round. I mean, they had done baseball playoffs the same thing for 100 years, and now it's time to change. NASCAR, never scared to change. We love that about them. There's been constant tweaking of this playoff run that has kind of molded into what we had last year. And then it was like all of a sudden everybody just decided to jump on that, not be happy with it, and NASCAR responded by changing it up during the off season. So no more guaranteed winning in. The SVGs of the world are going to win multiples.
And I like that part.
And we'll dive into all the exact changes, but I think it's just surprised me that NASCAR is like, you know what? We are going to change it.
Yeah, as you said, it's the 10-race chase. It's going to be a points-driven format for all three national series. We're going to get away from the win and you're in, which I'm in favor of that. I always thought it was a little strange how you could win the first race of the year, the Daytona 500, and by winning one race, the first race of the season, it guaranteed you a spot in the playoffs when you haven't even really proven yourself or proven that you deserve to be there other than you won the Daytona 500.
That's a pretty good measuring stick.
Yeah, but I mean, what? And we can't necessarily compare our championship system to other sports, primarily stick and ball. But I just was never a fan of that. I mean, I think you shouldn't know until you get down to the final races before you determine who's going to be your final 10 drivers.
Well, I'm always pulling parallels from golf because I always thought golf and NASCAR, believe it or not, are a little more similar than not. It's kind of, yeah, you may have teammates and stuff, but it's really, you know, you're a team of one when you're out there. Listen, if you get lucky and win a tournament, you're going to keep your tour card for another 2 years. And that's, to me, I always kind of equated it to that. Hey, you get lucky or in the right place at the right time and you win the Daytona 500, you're going to make the playoffs. Your sponsor is going to be extra happy with you. To me, it always gave some importance to some of these early races where, you know, I wonder if people are paying as much of attention. And that's when NASCAR, let's face it, that's one of the few times NASCAR has everyone's attention is when football's over. And before the NBA gets ramped up. So,
yeah. Now anyway. the other two national series, one being the NASCAR O'Reilly Parts series, which was formerly known as the Xfinity series, whereas the Cup series has 16 drivers that will go into the final 10 races to make up the chase, the O'Reilly Auto Parts series will have 12 drivers that will compete in 9 races to form their chase. Then the Craftsman Truck Series will have 10 drivers that will compete for the championship in 7 races. Seven races. So there's a little different setup than the Cup Series, but I'm pleased with this. I think it's easier to understand. I think it's added benefit for it to be easy to understand for all of our casual NASCAR fans. Because many people that you would classify as a casual NASCAR fan, they didn't know how it worked. And it was challenging to understand. And unless you stayed in tune to the sport, it was difficult to keep up with and know what was going on.
Yeah, you never want your points to be so bland where it's just, oh, win race, but then or your playoff system. But also you don't want to have to, you know, you and I always made the joke before the all-star race that, you know, we needed a lawyer in here to break down all the different ways you can actually compete in the all-star race. It's NASCAR just made it too difficult. And at some point you have to step back and go, hey, we've made this too difficult. Let's simplify it. I do think I like the simplified system. I don't think if you want to call them lucky winners are actually going to end up being punished. I still think winning a race is still a big deal. It was never truly a guaranteed end. It's just kind of seemed that way. But you know what? It'll give us something to pay attention to. Yeah. And people will be tuned in. And then 3 years from now, we're going to go, we never liked that system. It should be this new one we're doing now.
Yeah. Definitely the sport was time for a change. And I think this is a good change. So,
all right. So there's two of the biggest offseason stories, the passing of Greg Biffle, the new point system. I really want to dive into, I think, the biggest one and the one we're going to talk the most about when we come back, because you want to talk about long-reaching effects. You know, something happened that, I don't know, we talked a lot about. And, of course, yeah. I'm talking about NASCAR's court drama. I can't wait to talk about that when we get back.
All right, we got a lot to cover in a short period of time as we start our 25th year of Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Broadcasting live from the Nuga Dentistry Studio. I want to thank all of you out there for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. We got a lot more NASCAR straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at silverdalebc.com.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
Real estate investors, here's a cash flow deal. 3 wooded acres on Lookout Mountain with a 3-bedroom home already rented for $1,150 a month. Plus, there's acreage to build 1 or 2 more homes on the property, just minutes from Macklemore Resort and Cloudland Canyon at 754 Dale Trail, Menlo, Georgia, and priced well under $200,000. Contact me, Blake Watson with Epic Realty, 423-315-1815, or check it out at GeorgiaHomeForSale.com.
Go to your favorite podcast platform and search Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You.
Join Sean Whitfield, Matt Davis, and Darren Johnson for a podcast about fitness, health, and bodybuilding.
We feature the best in fitness and bodybuilding right here in Chattanooga.
You can expect workout advice and fitness tips from two of the best fitness and bodybuilding trainers in Chattanooga.
Many great guests and inspiring conversations.
A lot of laughs and entertainment to go along with it.
Subscribe and follow Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, today.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.3. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr, each and every Monday, starting, well, today. And Super Producer Chuck.
He just corrected you. It's Rock 103.7.
Did I not say Rock 103.7?
No, you're on a kick of this Rock 103.3 today.
Is there am I giving free play? Is there somebody on Rock 103.3?
I don't even know.
We might need to check into that.
I don't think there is.
Thank you. Well, you know what? But also, shame on me, Super Producer Chuck on the ones and twos, keeping me aligned. Rock 103.7, just like I said. And we're here each and every Monday.
Let me get my can of WD-40 out of the cabinet in there.
Monday at 6, right? It is 6 o'clock. Yeah. I'm looking at Monday at 6 each and every week.
I'm going to spray a little WD-40 to get some rust off.
Breaking down all the NASCAR news and info you need to know. Obviously no race. The clash at Bowman Gray keeps getting pushed back because of snow. It's supposed to happen Wednesday now. Maybe we'll talk about that next Monday. And then of course the Daytona 500, Sean, right around the corner, 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And the 2026 season will be officially underway.
Just think, the Super Bowl is coming up a week from Sunday, and as you said, we got the Daytona 500 the following weekend, the 15th. However, next year, the Daytona 500 will be a week later because the Super Bowl is going to be in 2027, that weekend that the Daytona 500 historically has always
been. I mean, listen, the NFL just keeps bumping it back and bumping it back, and pretty soon they're going to add more.
And they're in control.
The NFL is so, I mean, even above college football, and we love our college football here in the South, but the NFL is head and shoulders above every other sports league out there.
Yeah, they're king of the hill.
They're king of the hill, and all scheduling decisions are based around them. So the Seattle Seahawks, Sean, who are playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday, you know, their owner.
A week from Sunday.
Their owner, Paul Allen of Microsoft fame.
It's
this coming Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
Paul Allen, he was in Microsoft or something like that, but he bought them in 1997 for like $127 million, right? He bought the Seattle Seahawks. He passed away last year, I believe, or year before last. The Seahawks are in a trust and are set to be sold. Go on sale technically the day after the Super Bowl. Early estimates are,
I haven't heard that,
$10 billion is what an NFL team is going to go for.
Yeah.
They say if Jerry Jones decided to sell the Cowboys, 15, maybe 20 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's with a B.
I wonder how many years that takes you to get a return on your investment.
Well, when it's doubling every year, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think in 1997, like 100, you know, there were probably 127 million. Oh, my God. Well, don't worry. It's going to
and it's going to grow by 2,000%.
Maybe somebody like Elon Musk will just write a check for it.
I mean, it's going to take that kind of money, like some sort of just insane amount. So,
yeah.
But what's crazy is it's out there. So
before we dive back into NASCAR, the Patriots playing the Seahawks. Who's your favorite?
I'm pulling for the Seahawks more.
Really?
I'm actually pulling against the Patriots, I guess.
Huh. Why are you doing that?
I don't know. Dude,
any good reason?
Just Patriots fatigue. Huh. It's, you know, I'm tired of seeing them be good.
I'd like to see the Patriots get another one.
I'm tired of seeing, you know, Kansas City had a bad year. It's like, finally, we don't have to see them. The Eagles, we don't have to see them. But, you know, Seahawks is well run. This is probably the second time, maybe the third time. It's the third time I've seen them in Super Bowl.
I'm not a huge fan of either football team. I think it's going to be a great game. It's not that I don't have a favorite at all. I just, you got to choose one, so I'm going to go.
Got to pick one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots. All right, move right along to your third offseason topic.
The third offseason topic, Sean. And this happened. This all started coming out not long after our last show, which kind of I wanted to call you and be like, let's fire it back up, right? And that is the lawsuit settlement between Michael Jordan and his group, which includes Denny Hamlin and 23XI Racing. And NASCAR,
Front Row Motorsports
and NASCAR, the lawsuit settlement that essentially, while technically a settlement, has sure been viewed as a huge win for Michael Jordan and his side, as NASCAR essentially, once deposition started and discovery started coming out and texts were being read and stories were being told, NASCAR quickly came to a settlement that, for all intents and purposes, seems to be nearly exactly what Jordan and all those guys were asking for. So it's going to be a more transparent process going forward. You know the legalese a lot more than I, but the charters are going to be a little more. I guess there is going to be more. The charters are now on more solidified ground. And the value that they grow. Well, I'll let you explain that part. But essentially, Jordan won.
Yeah. You know, when we finished our last show last season.
Because it was coming to a head.
Yeah. And it was
nobody was backing down.
There was a lot of people that had their opinions of what we could expect. We knew that the trial was going to begin around the 1st or 2nd of December. And a lot of the people in the news media, as well as just people with opinions about NASCAR, thought there's nothing going to come good from this lawsuit and this thing going to trial. And I tend to have felt that way as well. I followed it closely every single day. I was searching for a variety of different people in the national news media that did a great job covering it. There was a couple of good podcasts that were being done.
Dude, Bob Pockeris was like on some channels you didn't normally hear him because it was such big news.
Yeah.
That this thing was settled.
It was finally coming out in the national news and getting some national attention, and rightfully so, because this was a big deal. There was a whole lot of stuff that came out that so many, and it was information that so many people had wanted to know for years and decades. There was a lot of mysteries that came out and were solved about the France family and the amount of money that they were making. That was a mystery that so many people through the years, it was always curious about. We got a little taste of that back when Brian France, the previous CEO of NASCAR and part of the France family, when he was going through his divorce. However, that was nothing compared to the lawsuit that we heard and witnessed back in December. I really thought as days went along that there was devastating damage that was going to be done to the sport, because each day it seemed like it was getting worse and worse, and nobody was willing to give. It was billionaires fighting billionaires, meaning primarily the France family going up against Michael Jordan. Both were used to living a life where they got what they both wanted in life. They were used to both being in control of their world and their destiny. And they both were, I don't know, for the lack of better words, bullheaded in being able to have much flexibility or give. And I got to hand it to Michael Jordan. He's the only one that could have pulled that off. The only other ones that could have possibly pulled it off would have been a Roger Penske or Rick Hendrick. But neither one of them was even going to even think twice or consider about going up against the France family. Both of them had signed the agreements and had agreed to the charter system back in 2025. And they're not ones that will get mixed up in debate, fighting, or controversy, or whatever you want to call it. Michael Jordan, he's an outsider that's came in the sport. He hadn't been here that long. And he wasn't intimidated by the France family at all. He made it clear he had a lot of respect for the sport and what the France family had built. But in his mind, it wasn't a fair system to the so-called stakeholders, being all the race teams, the drivers, and so on. And he was able to come in and go to battle when nobody else could, or no one else had the ability to, or nobody else was willing to. And the way it shook out the day that they were supposed to go back into the courtroom that morning, I think it was a Tuesday, and it was said that, hey, they're about to come to a settlement. And then to see interviews being done in the evening news where you saw Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, the France family, Lisa Kennedy, the senior management team, Mike Helton, and the senior management team of NASCAR, everybody is congregated together on the courthouse steps. And then you even see Lisa Kennedy hugging Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin. And it was almost like the war was over. We've come to terms. It's terms that we can all live with. And it was like Jim France had, because I think Jim France was what was holding this thing up the whole time.
He was absolutely the one.
He was still living.
Nobody was going to tell him what to do.
Yeah, he was still living in the days of his father and his brother, Bill France Sr. and Bill France Jr. So, and he was going to preserve the legacy and how he would have thought that his family would have wanted him to carry on. And I'm not sure what gave him a change of heart, but he definitely had a change of heart. And perhaps it was a situation where if he didn't make a change, and I don't know who in the family might have talked to him or who on the management team changed his mind or changed his heart, but it was got to a point to where there was devastating damage that was happening hour by hour the longer it continued on.
So Jordan, what Jordan and them actually did was claim that NASCAR was a monopoly, which if anybody remembers history class, the Sherman
and that wasn't difficult to prove. Pretty much they went in the courtroom and everybody knew that.
The Sherman Antitrust Act says that you're not allowed to have a monopoly. Now, are there still some out there? Well, technically no, because they get structured in a way that you can't be called a monopoly. But everyone knows, for all practical purposes, NASCAR was. And as the evidence started coming out, Sean, here's the thing. If you really go to trial and it gets proved that you're a monopoly, guess what? You lose all control. The company gets torn apart, right? It's old Bell South thing. It's no longer Ma Bell. It starts getting broken into all these different entities and da-da-da-da-da. NASCAR stood everything to lose. And so finally, when it was pretty obvious the court of public opinion was not with them, and the more damning evidence and just embarrassing stuff.
And then sponsors started getting vocal.
When you've got the NASCAR chairman, calling one of the team owners a dumb redneck.
NASCAR commissioner.
That in and of itself is not that big a deal, but it's also not the way, you don't want that coming to light. That's not the way respectable businesses handle themselves. So,
which has ultimately ended up in Steve Phelps' resignation.
Exactly. So, which is another long-term thing. So it basically came down to, we can settle this and go back to 80% of the way it was. We're all still making money and we're happy. Or you can be pigheaded and we can go to trial. And if we lose, the monopoly gets broken up.
Yeah.
And I think it took some of this damning stuff and flat ride, embarrassing stuff to start coming out for, you know, Mr. France to finally go, just let's get this done.
I think the NASCAR teams and owners and the so-called NASCAR fraternity owes a whole lot of gratitude and thanks to Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin, because they were willing to do something that no one else was willing to do, and they were willing to do something that no one else could afford to do. And they have changed the entire future of the business structure for a team owner and for the future of the sports for other team owners, potential team owners, and other investors to come into the sport. And I think we're going to see a much brighter future for NASCAR and much more successful sport than we would have had we not gone through this. It was painful at times. It was hard to see at times. It was certainly hard to listen to at times. Yeah. And we were going down
nothing
roads
more exciting than legal talk.
Yeah, we were going down roads and finding out things as the NASCAR fan base and community that we had no idea existed. There was a lot of damaged friendships, relationships, and hurt feelings, but we managed to stop the war in plenty of time before it got worse, and I think we're all better for it. And I feel like hindsight, it was a good thing.
Yeah,
there's a lot more good to come from than bad.
I think overall, it's going to help with the growth of NASCAR. It's going to help these teams who have more control over their charter and are going to get more a percentage of revenue, not just to broadcast rights, attract outside sponsors. They have a little more ability to operate their businesses as they see fit, as opposed to NASCAR being the almighty judge and jury on everything.
Well, it's going to be beneficial to sponsors, but it's more importantly going to be a better business opportunity for investors.
Exactly. If you don't have investors, this is NASCAR. Mm-hmm. If you don't have names on the side of cars, you don't have cars. So
yeah. And especially when we're at a time where we've got Roger Penske, Rick Hendricks, Richard Childress, Jack Roush, we've got a large majority of the NASCAR team ownership that's in their 70s and 80s.
I mean, retirement age.
Yeah. Or you know, we could lose them at any given time. So this was important for the future of the sport and to be a sport that is in a much healthier place than it was before.
Yeah. So, you know what? The three major stories, the passing of Greg Biffle tragically, the brand new playoff system, and really the earth-shaking news of the settlement that we – listen, all the specifics still aren't out, but what we know is it is going to change the way NASCAR does business going forward, and I think in a positive way for probably all of us.
All right, we got a lot more NASCAR straight ahead as we have began today our first episode of the 2026 NASCAR season. We are Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7, broadcasting to you live from the Nuga Dentistry Studio. We got a lot more straight ahead right after the break. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Hey Chattanooga, Josh Porter here for Optimize You, Chattanooga's number one clinic for both men and women's hormone replacement. Are you suffering from fatigue, low libido, or just not feeling yourself? We are the answer you have been looking for. My team and I are here to help you become yourself again. So find us online at OptimizeYouCenters.com.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Join Ed Jones and Clint Powell each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Vital Health Radio, presented by Vascular Institute and Vein Clinic on 98.1 The Lake. It's a radio show about living a healthy life, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr.
He got it.
Each and every Monday at 6, starting today.
Man.
The 2026 NASCAR season is underway, and that means we are to listen. All it takes is a couple breaks. Now I'm back in.
Great job, man. You're on your game.
I'm in mid-season form right now.
You know, I can get it. You had to just get a little rust off.
Just had to. Had to shake it loose a little bit.
If I wasn't doing this kind of stuff on a weekly basis, I would, yeah. I can remember back in the day before I had all these shows going on in the Whitfield Media Group, if you don't do it for a little while, you got to, you know, it's like riding a bicycle.
Listen, that's what I tell Mrs. Orr. if we don't do it for a while, it's like starting over.
Oh, yeah.
Got to keep practicing.
Yeah. You I can what? Only imagine how that conversation
she's,
goes.
She's again it. She's, yeah. She ain't for it. She's again it.
Yeah, I could see that. All right. We just got a couple of minutes left or a few minutes left. We're going to be headed coming up this Wednesday to Bowman Gray Stadium, which is
midweek NASCAR.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of racing history at Bowman Gray. And, of course, the NASCAR Cup Series has moved the Clash there. It's the second year in a row. I think they've got a 5-year deal with Bowman Gray Stadium. Got canceled this past weekend due to the severe weather that came through the area and the snow. And Casey, when it got canceled Sunday, and then they were planning to do it Monday, and then it got canceled and moved again to Wednesday, I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe it wasn't quite a bad idea after all to keep this race in Daytona. Because up until a few years ago, we always had this race in Daytona. And Daytona gave us a little more guarantee that we were going to be in a climate that we always could expect good weather, or at least weather where it wouldn't be canceled.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there is a reason why, you know, the Super Bowl is never in Cleveland, because it may snow and nobody wants to see that in the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
It's always in a dome or warm weather stadium. But listen, we can't also give NASCAR a hard time about changing when they try to do something cool to generate a little something and the snow gets in the way. I actually kind of think it'll be cool. I mean, got something to watch Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I don't, from looking at the sports schedule, there's really nothing going on, maybe an NBA or NHL game here and there, but they're going to be going live on Fox, I think, starting at 4:30, and then the Clash will begin at 6 p.m.
And it's currently 36 degrees in Winston-Salem. That's a little chilly. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully they can get the blowers out there, get all that snow off of it.
Yeah. So we'll have that coming up this Wednesday. And then coming up Sunday, we were talking a little bit before the a couple segments ago, we'll have the Super Bowl. And then we know once the Super Bowl is done, NASCAR is officially here because we have the Daytona 500 coming. So the Daytona 500 will be happening 1 week from this Sunday. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be an outstanding season. Some of the big questions that remain to be seen is, number one, can Denny Hamlin ever get close enough to possibly pull off a championship again before he retires? And two, will Kyle Busch be able to do worth a crap this year?
Will Kyle Busch show
maybe
back
even
up.
Have a chance to win a race?
You know, Sean, and we do have to say this. Our heart, you know, thoughts and prayers, is cavalier as that can sound sometimes, goes out to Denny Hamlin, who another offseason story that was out there is his house caught on fire.
His father's house.
Father's house caught on fire. His father passed away. His mother,
I think she's doing okay now.
Yeah, in the hospital, but still tragic stuff like that, especially in the holiday season. So Denny, very close to his dad, so close to getting a championship again. So maybe this will be a year where, with a little extra, who knows? I mean, he finished second with the weight of the world on his shoulders with that lawsuit. Maybe he just cuts loose and who knows?
Yeah, we had a few changes of sponsors and drivers moving around, but very, very little change in the off season coming into 2026. And we'll get into that in detail next week because we're about out of time. We've also got some new sponsors coming in this year. One in particular that caught my attention, that was nice to see, is a sponsor from way back in the day, used to be the sponsor with Cale Yarborough, and that is Hardee's. Hardee's is back coming in NASCAR, back. And they're also became an official status with NASCAR. I forgot if it's fast food or hamburgers or whatever,
official,
but anyway.
Official biscuit in NASCAR.
Yeah, we've got them back in the sport. We've got several other new sponsors that came into sport, so the sport is doing well. It's healthy. I heard a spokesperson from Joe Gibbs Racing say a few weeks ago that they were in better shape with their lineup of sponsors than they had been in 10 years. So that's encouraging. So I think we're headed to a bright future in the sport of NASCAR.
I think 2026 is, we say this every year. Something will throw us a curveball.
Yeah.
Something will be the wackiest part of something we've ever seen. But following 2025, 2026 has got some big shoes to fill, but I'm sure they'll have no problem. But no matter what, Sean, no matter what happens, we'll be here to talk about it every Monday at 6.
That's right. We're just getting started good, and we'll be back here next Monday, 6 p.m. on your ride home or wherever you may be, right here on Rock 103.7, as we are excited to be celebrating our silver anniversary of 25 years of talking NASCAR in Chattanooga. So we couldn't have done it without all of you and all of our great sponsors throughout the year. And then, of course, back holding down the main studio at Rock 103 is our buddy Chuck, and he's keeping going well on the air for
Super
another season.
Producer.
So we got a lot to be thankful for, and certainly we're thankful for all of you out there listening to us on Mondays. Tell your friends. Also, if you miss any portion of today's broadcast, you can find us at your favorite podcast platform. Just search Racing Talk Radio Download, or find us online at racingtalkradio.com. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and have a great week.
This has been the fastest hour in radio, Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 103.7. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.